www.abc.net/greenplanet.
This program is taking a break, so today's episode is a repeat.
Kia ora koutou katoa and welcome to Well With Anahila. It's been a while since we've been here, but anyway, it's an awesome day here in Auckland. We are in October, soon to be moving into November. Today I've got my guest today is Angela Gatung. Now Angela has been here before. She is the CEO of Kotuituiki, Ki Papakura. So Angela and I are just going to have a conversation on how things were during alerts level 4, 3, 2 and 1. Since March, and see how, yeah. So, kia ora Angela, welcome to Well With Anahila. How are you?
Kia ora Anahila, I'm fine, thank you. And congratulations on continuing to work with us in South Auckland.
Oh, thank you, Angela. We love having you down there.
And it's looking forward to another 3 years of working together and seeing great things happen.
Everyone, it's after the election, we're all sort of taking a rest, but and we're just having a conversation about that as well. So it's an absolute honour and a privilege to be the Labour MP based in Papakura. So we're going to have a conversation today with Angela about how things were for, probably Angela, if you can remind us all about Kotuituiki Papakura, what the Kotuituiki does, and then we can talk about some of the probably highlights, stories that happened during the alert level, alert levels, and maybe some of the challenges that we talk about that. Yeah.
Okay. So it's been a really testing year for us and for everybody and, you know, the community. We are a program of three strands. We have an education part, a health part, and a homes or whānau part. And we work in Papakura, and our education health strands roll out in six schools. Papakura High, Papakura Central, Red Hill School, Edmund Hillary School, Kereru Park Campus, and Park Estate School. So our education strand is actually a pedagogy of Manai Kalani, which is a digital platform. So when we were forced to move to remote teaching and learning, it wasn't too difficult because many children had devices.
Because of the Manai Kalani program.
The Manai Kalani program is an online, it's a digital program. It's a program where teachers use their Google site, put their work there, and the children get it from there, and that's visible. So, of course, it's better to have the teacher one-to-one, face-to-face in the classroom, but the schools enabled Google Meet, which is like Zoom, but it's a Google product, so teachers were able to connect virtually with their classes every day, and that was supplemented with, you know, some paper packs that some schools sent home. Parents came and picked them up in the few days before lockdown, and schools, you know, delivered those and picked them up in the second lockdown that we had in Auckland. But by and large, thanks to Manai Kalani, it was quite a seamless transition into remote teaching and learning. We were thankful for that.
And that also included parents who really knew what was happening. Because I'm a parent myself, and it was pretty difficult to catch up with my teenager.
I think that the schools communicated as best they could with parents. I mean, some of the families did decide not to stay in Papakura during that first lockdown, and they went home to their family places, which were not in the local area. But all in all, the schools did the best they could with communicating with the parents, and we, in that few days after the Prime Minister announced lockdown, but before it came in, we distributed as many Chromebooks as we had available. We got them out, and so did schools do that.
That's so great. So that's your really education in your homes.
Can we go with health first?
Because
health. So health. So our health teams, did an amazing work as well. They connected with whānau remotely, so they used the telephone, they used, you know, text, they used internet, like email as they could. And some of them also deployed into COVID-19 testing or assessment centres. And one of the nurses at the high school went and went to district nursing. So there was a range of things that kept the health provision going while also helping in the environment of COVID-19.
Okay, so when we talk about health, what does that look like?
So nurses would ring families, whānau, and just check on the children. And if families reported that children had a sore throat, the nurses were instructed by the DHB to treat empirically, which meant that they didn't need to see the child, but they could order the antibiotics and get them delivered or deliver them straight to the home. So that the sore throat management could continue during lockdown, which was really vital for, you know, families. And in the high school, I think that the nurses and the whānau worker, the new youth worker who started 3 days before lockdown, he created resources and they shared those through the school platform and they connected by telephone and, you know, they did what they could to follow up with families and young people that they thought might be at risk. And certainly, you know, between lockdowns, getting students back to school has been a challenge. And also looking after the mental health of young people who are really worried about COVID-19 and, you know, how to protect against it and that those sorts of things.
So when we're talking about a six schools, that's quite a huge number of young students, really, a huge number of young people that you had already, they know about Kotuitui and you already know who they are. So was it, I suppose in terms of engagement, my daughter with her schooling, education during that time is sounding like the same thing. So how did that relationship help with, deal with COVID-19 with all the lockdowns that we've had?
So, you know, it's really, really cool that the nurses in each of the schools are the same ones every day. So hopefully the families have a relationship already with that nurse. So when that nurse rings, it's not a surprise. It's somebody that they know and trust. And, you know, in the primary schools, the nurses, we have a contract with Papakura Marae and the nurses work from there. And they've got a great health centre. You know, they use the whānau aura model, which is the wraparound support. So they connect with the family and if that family needs kai, they get that. And if that family needs some emergency accommodation, they'll help there. So they treat the whole sort of family rather than just the child's throat. So it's all around, it's all about the relationship of trust that the health professionals have with the families. And yes, there are about 2,000 tamariki and rangatahi in those six schools. So that's really ongoing now because, you know, there of course were some young people that didn't access the healthcare and the nurses and the health professionals are still really, really busy, especially in the mental health area, helping with these things that, you know, since lockdown are very real issues in young people's lives. In the home strand, we connect with whānau one-to-one and it had been mainly face-to-face. And when lockdown was imposed, which, you know, we absolutely agreed with, we had to pivot quickly. Like in all of the strands, we did move and we're quite nimble. We decided that we would apply for essential service provider status. And we got that. And then we identified a couple of our workers who were happy to be the essential workers. And we used our van and we raised some extra funding. Some new funders came on board. And we started connecting with every whānau on our database. And then we asked our schools, Have you got Sfano on your database that you would like us to connect with to see how they are? Mm. So it was a conversation by telephone with every single one of these families. Now, some of them we couldn't find because the phone numbers didn't work or they didn't reply to their emails. But we had conversations with more than 300 families.
300 families.
About 320-something families. And they told our kutuitui whānau, the people that the locals that work with us, what their needs were. So we were able to provide food. And it was mainly food for the first lockdown. But by the second lockdown, we had collected donations and we had accessed more funding. And so through the second lockdown, right to today, we have distributed food and pajamas, clothing, blankets, bedding, mattresses, furniture, whatever we can whatever we hear the need are, we see, we go look to provide that. And so it's like we give you what you need, what you say you need. No questions asked, no eligibility. And if we can't meet that need, we will refer you to, if you agree, to another organisation that might need that, meet that need.
I during Alert Level 2, we had part of what we were doing is we were calling locals to see how they are. And one family had said that they needed food and we were able to refer them on to Kotuitui. So when you talk about funding, so I just want to take you back. When you said you had access to funding, tell us about that. Where does the funding come from? Were you able to share or did you access the government funding for COVID-19 relief or what was it?
We did. I think it was all government. Some was from the Ministry of Social Development. Other funding was from Te Puni Kōkiri and also a couple of charities, private family charities came on board. Probably I won't mention them. And there were other individuals that emailed me and said, oh, I'd like to give some pūtia for that, but I don't want my name mentioned, you know. And we respect that. So we, in that first lockdown period, we had about $97,000 that we distributed in the form of food to families. In the second between lockdowns, the Auckland Council came on board with us and we have funding to employ our volunteers because, you know, volunteers are essential in that strand and they've been working so hard and it was really good to give them part-time employment and also to provide these other things that we've been buying like bedding and blankets and, you know, more food.
Yeah, as you were talking and we're in alert levels and obviously like you said, you're an essential provider. How did you access all these? You just knew where to get them or you already had a relationship with them, like pajamas, blankets, food,
Well, a lot of it came from the Middlemore Foundation. And the Middlemore Foundation actually, you know, they created us right back in 2014, 15. We, from them, we got some blankets, we got some knitted woolens for babies, we got all sorts of things, toothpaste, toothbrush, liquid soap, antibacterial wipes, just so many items. And also, everywhere we went, we talked about what we were doing. And, I mean, we were asking, have you got donations? If you know, we got some great donations of bread from the local supermarket. And I just knocked on the door and said, can I come and see you? Have you got some donations? We'll distribute. We connected with the Sikh temple in Takanini, which has been really...
in the group,
And, and they gave us some bread to distribute and some... vegetables and so it's just asking and saying, look, we'd love to partner with you and you know, can we work together somehow. Even last week I had spoken to a person months ago and he texted me and said, I've got some bread for you to pick up. So, you know, it's just carry on talking about it and saying that this is all going to be given in our community and just think of us if you've got anything extra. So we do, we have bought, but we also, you know, share what we've been donated. And some people have given us second-hand furniture, which we've passed on because it's good quality. And some second-hand clothing, some second-hand linen. If it's good quality, like if we get second-hand curtains, we'll launder them and then we will put them up for whānau.
Yeah, thank you, Angela. Just want to let everybody know you're listening to Anahila, Well With Anahila, the Labourist MP based in Papakura. I'm having a conversation with Angela Gatting. She's the CEO for Kotuhi Tuhi Ki Papakura Trust. She's just been talking about, she's just been running 100 miles per hour, sharing what they've provided in terms of services to free up our alertness level in the COVID-19 environment. But I want to bring it to ask Angela, how did the families, what feedback did the families gave, and also the people that donated, what feedback did they give in terms of how they felt throughout those, about Kotuhi Tuhi and what you were doing in the community?
So the feedback from whānau has been really positive. They've said, you know, you're wonderful and we love you and thank you for thinking of us. And we've been able to employ a person now who speaks Cook Island Māori as her native tongue, and we've been able to connect with people. She's been able to introduce our work, and you know, I've said to her, like, if you have if you receive feedback in that language, just let's have it, because you know, we also would like to work similarly with the Samoan and Tongan communities in our area. You might be able to help. And so, and the donors, they just, they just like it. They just, you know, we obviously, they like to see pictures. They like to hear quotes. They like to see videos. We're careful to get permission first. And we keep the quotes sort of anonymous. But they like to see that it's real and that it's like, it's not just dropping stuff off and hoping that it will be okay, it'll be what somebody needs, but it's tailored to each individual whānau. What a lot of whānau told us is that they were really having difficulty with their power bill because it was winter, because they were staying at home, and because there were many whānau together. And so we designed, not me, but the whānau who work in the home strand, they designed a tutorial on how to understand your power bill.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and so they have been delivering that. And with that, you know, we found that there's a lot of complexity from power companies, and how do you read your bill, and whether it's a paper or online, it looks different. And you know, even I've investigated my power bill and changed my plan because I was on the wrong plan and it was costing me more. And after that, we give whānau a little subsidy towards their power, towards paying off their bill. But you know, some families are running behind, you know, up to $1,000 in their power. So it's just empowering families to understand
the power bill and then the electricity.
And so, take some action if they'd like to take action.
So one of the things I know about Kotuhi Tuhi, that if a child comes to school, let's just say with a cough, or then you get permission to speak with the parents, you visit the homes, and you, if they agree, you do a home assessment, and then I know that you also bubble wrap in terms of insulation, windows, just to insulate the homes. Now, were you able to do that through the lockdown, or no?
We weren't able to, but we posted a few very short videos on our Facebook page. So talking about insulation and where heat loss, how you lose heat loss, and so just giving some short tutorials. And then, but since we've come back, now we're in level one, we are back doing that work again. It's been quite hard getting the supply of goods through. For example, we do provide the curtains, and ordering those is, I've been able to order them, but actually receiving them has been quite difficult. They're coming from China.
Okay, so. All right. So when we hear on the news that shipments, containers are not allowed, are queuing up in the wharf and they're not unable to be loaded because of whatever's happening at the border, it includes the curtains that you provide for families.
Absolutely. It's right back to there. Curtains, curtain tracks, it's been really difficult, and it's we've had trouble sourcing them because where we buy them from hasn't been able to, you know, offer them for sale because they haven't had the deliveries. It's just starting to free up now, but yes, you're exactly right. That impact right in the family level goes back to...
Yes, because sometimes we, people... it means nothing when they say, "All right, Christmas, the stock are stuck, they're stuck at the wharf, or they're queuing up. They're not able to accept more containers, ships coming in." But then having a conversation with you and bringing it really locally, it means that those curtains can't be provided to families.
That's right.
Who needs it for to keep their homes warm?
Mm.
Yeah. So.
It's been a very busy time, and we've been busier than usual. But it's been really, it's been very satisfying, and I've been very proud of everybody in our organisation that has just gone above and beyond. You know.
I know that we were also, my office was also very busy during the, when we first went into alert level 4 and then 3, but there was a multidisciplinary team in Papakura that the community got together and worked together. And tell us about your role in that. I know that we've got like 9 minutes left, but before we get to the end, I'll probably let people know how to contact you.
That'd be great. Thank you. Yes, I did.
MDCAT, that was it.
Yeah, MDCAT. I Zoomed my first try with the Zoom, and we MDCAT hui'd quite regularly, and we talked about what we were doing, and it was about relationships and contacts and knowing, you know, who to refer to or how to, where to get referrals from. And I like that connected approach because we are little. Mm. We can do some things, but, you know, Papakura has how many residents? 50,000 or something.
Yes.
So, you know, we're quite sort of small and niche, but we know that there are other local players that are doing bigger things. So I really enjoyed those meetings, and you know, some good things came out of it. The volunteer army, the Kura Connect, I learnt more about.
Yes.
What was happening in the Marae. And what the Auckland Emergency Management team were doing. Yeah, it was really, really great to be on that committee and to have the ability to learn and also to give.
And how's that relationship now that we're no longer in alert levels 3, 4, 3 and 2?
We don't have those meetings anymore.
Right, yes. I know Joe Tippin has gone to East Auckland, hasn't he?
But I know people, you know.
Everybody knows each other now? They probably did before. You probably did before, but now you know each other really well.
Some people I still haven't met face to face, but I have their email addresses.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's great.
How do people access the support that you provide?
So we are based at Papakura High School.
So the 6 schools that are part of the cluster.
So we work around those 6 schools, but our office space is Papakura High. So if you ring Papakura High School and ask for Kotuitui, they'll put you through to our line. You can go to our website, which is www.kotuitui.org.nz.
Let's spell Kotuitui just in case. So it's Kotuitui ki Papakura. So Kotuhituhi and then Papakura. Kotuhituhi ki Papakura. Mm. I know John Rawls expect us to know the Papakura High School phone number, do you?
No, because I don't ring my office.
Yourself. But the phone number to Papakura High School, let me get it. Hopefully John won't be listening because I think he might think we know the phone number. So Papakura High School is... We don't know. It's not showing up yet, but you continue talking while I...
Okay, so the other way is our website, www.kootuitui.org.nz, or our Facebook page. And if you just search for Koh Tui Tui, you will get to our Facebook page. And my phone number is 027-2011-477.
Mm-hmm. 027-2011-477. Right, and I've got the phone number now for Papakura High School. It is 09-296-4400, 296-4400, and they are at Willis Road at Papakura. Right, let's get that name Koh Tui Tui, because I think I spelled it incorrectly. So it's K-O-O-T-U-I-T-U-I. Yeah, okay. I think we can put it down that we haven't been we've been in lockdown for so COVID-19. Well, really, let's have a chat about that. COVID-19. We first heard of it just January, February, and it's been a tough journey for locals, for everyone. But we do understand the system now. Do you?
Yes, we do. We've got really good protocols. Of course, each school has their own health and safety management plan around COVID-19. We of course comply with whatever the school's plan is, but when we're out in the community at different levels, we're wearing masks, we're sanitising, you know, we've got other personal protective sort of procedures, and we can do contactless delivery.
Yeah.
So,
Well, thank you, Angela. I didn't mean that as a do you know, do you know what to do? But it's just that, people now understand what to do and the importance of what needs to be done when it happens.
Mm.
So let me spell it again. It's Koh Tui Tui Ki Papakura. K-O-O-T-U-I-T-U-I-K-I. Papakura, that's my Tongan when I say it, tuhi tuhi, but it's Koh Tui Tui Ki Papakura, weaving together education, health and homes. For the last 2 minutes, Angela, what would you like to share with the, something about yourself? What did you do for your well-being during that time or now, or have you got a strategy that you didn't know that worked and now it worked during that time since March?
It's a simple one. I really like walking.
Yes.
And, you know, during lockdown, I was able to do that just from my front door.
Yeah.
Every day I went out. And I like doing it sort of after lunch.
Mm.
It's been hard to keep going when I've been back in the office. But in a couple of weeks' time, my sister and I are walking 21Ks in the Mount Maunganui half marathon.
Oh, right.
So that's something that actually got postponed during lockdown, but it's happening at the end of November. So that's my simple recipe for well-being.
Yes, what I heard, good to hear, because you're very similar with other people I've been speaking with. So what people had said to me during that time, that their family time became more, that they were aware of how much time they don't spend with their family outside of before COVID-19. Were you similar to... Walking was a favourite, everyone's favourite. Everyone was out walking.
Well, I'm sure the dog enjoyed it because she came with me every day. But my husband stayed home most days. My children are all grown and left the nest.
Yes.
So it's just hubby at home with the dog. So we did spend more time together, but I was, you know, very busy and rushing from phone to computer in my separate room. but yes, I think so. Obviously, we did spend more time on video with my family.
Yeah.
We got groups made up, like Viber groups and WhatsApp family groups that we hadn't done before that, and we could video call. You know, I have a son in Melbourne, and they've only just come out of lockdown yesterday, and it's taken a terrible toll on him and his wife. So it has been good to be able to connect more regularly. So actually, you know, family is so important. Mm. Often work takes the precedent because that's what we've sort of engaged in during the day. Mm. So it has been a timely reminder of the importance of whānau.
Mm. Well, Angela, thank you very much. Can I take this opportunity to thank you? Thank you for what Kotuitui is doing in Papakura. I've heard absolutely positive feedback from everyone, and I want to acknowledge you, your leadership and your team. We're out of time. So thank you very much for joining us. That was Well with Anahila, Angela Katung, CEO from Kotuitui ki Papakura, and of course myself, Anahila, ka kite anō.